Well, I want to return to God's word this morning from Colossians 3, 1 through 10, where God tells us that we are constantly being renewed in Christ, and therefore we should be keeping our minds on things above, and not on the things of this world. You know, I'm going to depart a little bit, as I did at Norland, from my order of my text, because I've been troubled by something. I'm troubled even now to think of it. But as I was reading that text from 1 Kings, where we saw this conflict between Elijah and these prophets of Baal, what a mighty and terrible conflict that was, with 400 men ultimately slain because they defied God, and they set up false religion. God worked in a mighty way through Elijah. And of course, what strikes us or strikes me as odd is how a man who God works such a mighty way through then is so filled with fear by this woman, Jezebel, and runs for his life as if God would let him down suddenly. But you know, we are in a battle today. A battle today every bit as cruel and every bit as dangerous as that battle that Elijah fought. And here's one example. Today, or this week, this past week, someone brought to me the new, quote, Lutheran Study Bible, published by the ELCA. Very thick, very impressive. And when I go to Matthew 18, to the Great Commission, it says there, or Matthew 19, 28, it says there, of course, Jesus said, make disciples of all nations. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that I've told you. And then the study note on the side says, you don't have to be a disciple of Jesus Christ to receive his blessings. It's contradicting God's word. And it goes on to explain a universalism that says, you know, you can be a good Muslim and follow Jesus. You don't have to deny your Muslim roots. You can be a good Jew and follow Jesus. You don't have to deny your Jewish heritage. You could still be a good Hindu and follow Jesus. It's all part of this collective, universalism. All paths lead to the mountaintop. It's right there in the study Bible. You do not have to be a disciple of Jesus. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, go and make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them. So we are in a battle today against a heresy and an ungodly religion that is in our church. I'm talking about the church, the big church, capital C church. And yet God tells us that we are to be looking up, always looking up. We are not to be following after the things of this world. On that Sabbath morning, in our gospel text many years ago, a woman heard that there was a special speaker in her church, and she loved the Lord. But she didn't go to church very often because she was crippled with a crippling disease that bent her over and caused her so much pain and suffering she could hardly walk, she could hardly get out of the house. But she wanted to go hear this special speaker, so she got up early that day and she went. And she struggled all the way to get there. And she arrived late, but not too late, to hear Jesus. The Bible says that her affliction was caused by Satan himself. Now, why he had chosen to torment her with physical pain and suffering, God only knows. But note this. despite her pain and suffering, 18 years, she never stopped looking up. Her faith in God never wavered. You see, Satan can torment you in the world, but he can't touch your soul. Her soul was intact. Jesus saw her coming. He knew that she would be there. He knew she would be late. And he said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And then the leader of the synagogue, even though he had untied his own donkey and his own oxen that very morning and led them to water, even though he had done this work on the Sabbath, he condemns Jesus for loosing this woman, untying this woman from this demonic persecution on the Sabbath. And so Jesus calls him a hypocrite. And he calls all of those hypocrites who make up rules because of man's political correctness, out of man's desire for works righteousness, following after man's old nature, instead of listening and looking up to God. The woman certainly didn't complain, nor did the people in her congregation. Do you notice that? We talked about that earlier this morning. How many good Christian people are there in the ELCA? You know there's 3.5 million people in the ELCA? And the corruption is at the top. It's only a few hundred people. I'm talking about the presiding bishop and all the heads of their schools and stuff. You added them all together, it'd only be a few hundred people. 3.5 million Christians in the ELCA are being led into heresy by a few hundred. They should be like this congregation who glorified God in what Jesus did for that woman, just as she glorified God. And what did Jesus do for her? Well, when you think about it, physically, he renewed her. He completely renewed her. She was as healthy that moment he laid his hands on her as she would ever be in her entire life. Jesus renewed her. Our scripture text that I want to look to is this Colossians text. I want to return just to the first two verses. The Bible says in Colossians 3, If then you were raised with Christ, then seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on earth. See, man's old nature always turns from God. Even in the church, man's old nature turns from God. In the church, man's old nature tries to invent his own righteousness, works righteousness, following after the world, following political correctness, which is the great evil of our day. And oftentimes, political correctness opposes what God says to do in His Word. You see some church bodies condemning, therefore, the law of God. The law of God says, this is sin. Turn away from it. Yet that's condemned in some church bodies today, calling those who stand on God's word chauvinists and bigots, homophobes. This age, churches, as I saw this week, as that new quote-unquote study Bible shows, churches today are even denouncing the very gospel. Christ died for your sins. There is no other way to salvation except through Jesus Christ. It's being denied in some churches, the gospel itself. The world criticizes true Christians as being narrow-minded and exclusionists. I'm criticized for being a fundamentalist. The world wants to persuade you to follow man's religion instead of God's religion. But man's religion doesn't do anything for you. Man's religion can never do anything for you. Only Christ raises you up. Only God raises you up to new life through faith in Jesus Christ. And so, for my confirmands, the first point of this text is you are raised up in Christ Jesus. And second of all, because you are raised up through faith in Jesus Christ, put to death the desires of this world. And set your mind, third of all, set your mind on things above. Well, the Bible poses this question. It says in verse 1, if then you are raised with Christ, well, maybe each of you now asks yourself, well, have I been raised with Christ? If then you have been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Well, if we back up just a little bit in this same book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible assures you how you are raised up with Christ. 2 Corinthians 12 says that you were buried with Christ in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised Jesus from the dead. If you were baptized and you believe in Jesus as your Savior, the Bible assures you, yes, indeed, you are raised to eternal life right now. The moment you believe and are baptized, you are raised in Christ. Well, what does that mean? Well, we know that Jesus lived with us. He lived in the flesh. He was a human man. He was both perfect God and perfect man in his incarnation. He suffered. He got hungry. He got tired. He was abused, and ultimately he was killed. He died. Jesus did die. And he went into the tomb for 3 days, buried. But on the third day, because God was satisfied with his perfect punishment and perfect sacrifice, God raised Jesus from the dead. And he raised him back, not as a ghost and not as some spirit. He raised him back in the flesh. Jesus is alive today in the flesh. Said to his disciples, do you remember after he'd been raised, the disciples were hiding out in an upper room because they're afraid of the world, like Elijah was afraid of Jezebel. The door was bolted shut, and suddenly Jesus was there. The door never opened. He was suddenly there, and they were terrified. They thought they were seeing a ghost. And Jesus says in Luke 24, verse 39, behold my hands. That's where the nail holes were. He says, behold my hands and my feet. It is I. Myself, handle me, touch me, and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see, I do. Jesus was raised to new life because God accepted his sacrifice for your sins and for mine. And the Bible says that as you were baptized into his death. Your old nature is buried in that tomb. The death that you and I deserve, Jesus suffered for us, and therefore, as we are baptized, we have that death credited to us. But also, that same verse, Corinthians 2:12, says that you are raised from that death through faith in Jesus Christ to new life, to eternal life. And you, if you are baptized and you trust in Jesus as your Savior, you are living that eternal life right now. But what's the difference? The old nature is dead, or at least it's buried. The those who don't know Jesus as Savior, when they die in this world, their dead old nature goes to hell for eternity. For those who know Jesus and have been raised to eternal life, when you leave this world, you pass immediately into heaven, and eternal life continues. It doesn't begin, it continues, except instead of living your eternal life here in this fallen world, your eternal life continues in heaven with God, with Jesus, and with all of those Christians who've gone before you until the end. And then at the end, you will also receive your perfect body, just like Jesus, the resurrection to new physical life as well. And this is the new life you received with Jesus, and you received this life by the grace of God. And therefore, God says, put to death the deeds of your old nature. Now, in this letter to the church in Colossae, the Bible warns about your old nature's desire for the world and calls you to put off those desires that the world has for you. The world doesn't like the way that God thinks, and the world doesn't like what Jesus has to say when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The world does not like that. Jesus is the only one, however, who raises you to eternal life. He is the only way. Certainly not the works of men, certainly not the political correctness of this world, and certainly nothing that you can do in works righteousness can raise yourself up. God instructed, and he guided Paul in this letter to write to the church, because in that day, just as in this day, heretics were creeping into the church, the letter says. Except in that day, they were creeping into the church and they were teaching that you've got to adopt all of the old ritual ceremonies of the Jews or you can't be saved. And that takes away from the perfect sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And yet these heretics in that day were following after man's desire for self-righteousness and works righteousness, the washing of cups and ceremonial laws and Levites' traditions. And God spoke through his apostle and says, no longer should you be looking to man's rules. Don't worry about man's political correctness, but only look to Jesus. There's nothing else but Jesus. The laws of men want to go beyond God's law with works righteousness, and that's bad enough. But in our day, the heretics of our day, we see new laws being driven by base and coarse desires. And you know, the Bible talks about that. These desires have come into our church. Look at Jude 4, verses 17 and 18. Jude is that last little book just before the book of Revelations. Jude verse 4. Tell me if this isn't a headline taken from our day. Jude 4 says, ungodly men who turn the grace of God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. And this has come into the church. The denying that what God's word declares to be sin, denying that it is sin, and in fact even inviting those who live in that sin to become pastors and leaders in the church. They turn the grace of our God into lewdness. And just as I saw and I relate to you in the quote-unquote Lutheran study Bible, they deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I couldn't believe it. The man who showed it to me highlighted it there, and he said, look at this. You don't have to be a disciple of Jesus to be saved. And these things, the Bible says, will happen in the last time. Friends, we are living in the last time. But the Bible says, just as you died in Christ and have been raised to new life, so God calls each one. Put to death the sins of this world. Bury them with your old nature. Leave them in the tomb. You've been raised to new life, new eternal life. You know, if we look back at that Colossians text, chapter 3, verse 5, it describes five sins where we sin against ourselves. Fornication, uncleanliness, passions, evil desires, covetousness, idolatry. These are sins by which we damn ourselves. And then it goes on in verse 8. Also turn away from anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Don't lie to one another. These are sins by which we harm our brother and our neighbor. And the Bible says, because of these things, in verse 6, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be following after them, but keep your mind on things above. Which of these things has come into our church, our congregation here at Roseau? Fornication, uncleanliness, evil desires, covetousness, blasphemy, probably all of them, and others too. And so God calls us not to be looking to these things, not to be living this way, but He calls us every day, throughout each of your days. God calls you, be looking up. Keep your mind on things above where Christ is. Be looking to Jesus and your eternal life. God says, set your mind on things above. Now this word, set your minds, it's one word in the Greek, by the way. And it's a strange thing. We have to translate it into three words in English. It means, literally, be keeping your mind on. Continuously. It's a continuous action. Be keeping your mind on. It's kind of like that old expression you've all heard, to mind the store, right? You're not minding the store, ladies, when you burn the bread in the oven because you get distracted by a phone call. You've heard that expression? You're not minding the store. Men, you know, if the tractor runs out of gas halfway down the row, well, you weren't minding the store. Or if you're distracted by a cell phone call and you look back and your row is as crooked as you can get, you're not minding the store. Minding the store means keep your mind on what it is you're doing. And don't be distracted by the daydreams or the enticements of this world, but do your duty. To mind your children, we've heard that expression, means to watch over them, guard them from the dangers of the world, be looking after them. I saw an amazing story in the news this week. And maybe you saw it. It's true. I couldn't believe it. In Colorado, a family thought they'd lost one of their sons. Did you see that news item? The father he liked to dabble in science, and so he launched this big giant weather balloon, big huge aluminum thing, went up into the air, started to sail away, and then someone said, "Where's Johnny?" Johnny was playing in the balloon. And they thought that the boy had been carried away with the balloon. There was a huge panic in Colorado. The state police were called. The Federal Aviation Administration was called. They're asking themselves, my goodness, what will we do? If we shoot down the balloon, the boy will fall to his death. Eventually, the boy walked out of the barn, and they realized he wasn't in the balloon. But it was a big deal. Now the family's being investigated to find out what was going on. They weren't minding their children, you can say that much for sure, were they? Well, the Bible says that we are to be setting our minds. We're to be mindful, keeping our minds on not the things in this world, but setting our minds on things above, where Christ is. He sits at the right hand of God. That means He sits where the power is, the authority is. We're to keep our minds on things of this world, but we know, you know, we live in a world that is fallen and full of corruption. So it's hard to keep our minds on things above. How do we do this? Well, Jesus says we are helped in two ways. First of all, you cannot keep your minds on things above unless you are, in fact, born again. Unless you have been given new life through baptism and faith in Jesus. Verse 10 says, put on this new man. That's your new spiritual life that he gives you. Put on this new life who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of God who created you. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you know that your sins are forgiven. You know that you are now a child of God, and you know that you have eternal life. And this knowledge and this faith in Jesus Christ renews you day by day. It strengthens you day by day. You also know that this world is passing away. The sinful lusts of this world are passing away too. You know that there are those who desire to run after the sins of this world. The Bible says that the wrath of God is coming to punish those who live in disobedience. Friends, we have neighbors right now who are choosing to run after the things of this world in disobedience because they are not keeping their mind on things above. These things you know, they're not just head knowledge, it's heart knowledge. These are things that you know in your soul that are true. But the renewal of God, it's not just a one-time event. The Bible says you are constantly being renewed through the Word of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is the second way that God helps you to keep your mind on things above. God's grace and mercy are new every morning. When you fall and stumble, God doesn't leave you there with your face in the dirt. He picks you up. His Holy Spirit calls you to confess your sins and to know that your sins are forgiven so that you can keep your minds on things above. God's grace and His mercy constantly renews you through the power of His Word. God is constantly renewing you so that you become more like Christ every day. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By prove means to live out what is good and acceptable, the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. For God did not call you to uncleanliness, but to holiness. Dear friends, as you have received new life, having been renewed, and being renewed constantly in God's Word, now you have a choice. You see, before, when you were dead in trespasses and sin, you had no choice. You could only do one thing, and that is follow after sin. But when God creates new life in you, when He gives you new spiritual life, now you have a choice. Going to follow after the old nature which was buried in the tomb? If you do, you're walking away from Christ and you're walking away from eternal life. Or are you going to choose to keep looking up, setting your mind on things above? Now you can choose. And God calls you each day, every day, through His Holy Word and by His Holy Spirit. He calls you to keep your mind on things above. Keep your mind on Him, for you have already been raised up to eternal life by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. May His name always be praised. Well, our hymn, in response to God's encouragement to keep looking up to Jesus, is Be Thou My Vision, number 607.